Naturikarte is. Naturikarte is a purely religious organization. It's an organization that started in approximately 1938. This was way before the creation of the State of Israel, once the philosophy of Zionism came up to Jerusalem. And the rabbis at the time in Jerusalem and in Europe, which was the main concentration of religious Jews, really understood that this is going to destroy the Jewish religion and destroy the Jewish people. That was way before anyone can imagine that this is going to harm any other people. Nobody ever thought that this is going to harm Palestinian people. I have to mention this. There was a letter from one of the famous leading rabbis in Europe who came to visit Palestine. I'm not very sure when, but it was way before 1948. And he visited Palestine to see how it is, how Jewish people can manage their lives in Palestine, because people were questioning, individual people were questioning to immigrate to Palestine as religious Jews to practice religion. And he came back and wrote a letter. And in this letter he described how beautiful the coexistence is between the Jewish people and the Muslim people, and it's a place that he can recommend to anyone to come and join, now again, without any dream of oppressing other people. Now, getting to the point of political, we are not political whatsoever. We are apolitical. We take no sides and no stands in any politics. We do meet political people, religious people, leaders from all kinds of people that we can manage to reach in order to fulfill our religious duty of explaining how far away Judaism is from Zionism. We have no conflict, and we have no political conflict, no conflict with any people. The concept of Messiah is one of the basics of Jewish belief. We have 13 basic Jewish belief, and according to Judaism, what Maimonides put together is, if one lacks to believe one of these basics, then they are no longer considered a part of Judaism. Now, but we have to step back a step. The concept of Messiah is the second half of the picture. There is basically three parts here. There is the famous Promised Land. Everybody speaks about the Promised Land. The Holy Land was promised for the Jewish people. This is unfortunately being used as a tool of propaganda to silence whoever criticizes Israel. Supposedly that if you criticize the legitimacy of the existence of Israel, you're criticizing Judaism as a religion, which is terrible. And how this is being done? This is being done by presenting you one side of the coin and hiding the other side of the coin. In other words, misusing religion, misusing some parts of the religion to forward this anti-religious concept. Now, there is a concept of a promised land. The Almighty God did promise the Holy Land for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This promise was fulfilled, but there is a second side of the coin. The land was given to the Jewish people on condition. There is a verse saying, and the land should not reject you because you defile it. If you would remain, if you would keep the land in the level of holiness that I require of you, you would remain in the land. Otherwise, you would be placed out of the land. Unfortunately, this is what happened by the destruction of the temple when Jews were exiled from the Holy Land. And this is one of the basics of our religion, is the concept of exile and redemption. Exile is a spiritual happening. This is a divine decree. This is not simply a physical happening that happened just because of lacking of our power. This was a direct decree of God and was told to us by the prophets at the time that this will happen, and unfortunately this is what happened. Now, what are we waiting for? What is the ultimate redemption we wait for? It's a very important point. People think that when we deal about, when we oppose the State of Israel, we oppose it today, and we don't oppose it tomorrow, which is totally wrong. And one of our great leaders once explained this. The tragedy of Zionism that was done against our religion, now putting the tragedies of Palestine aside, we're talking just about simple violation of this concept of exile that we are forbidden to fight this decree of God by physical means. We are forbidden to create a state of our own by physical means, because this is something to, we leave this up to God, as the question was when the Messiah comes. But the tragedy was not only that these political people violated a specific rule within Judaism not to establish a land prematurely. There was something greater than this that happened. This transformation, that Judaism was transformed from a religion into a nationalism. They simply took out the religion from our people and they replaced this with a simple base physical materialism. Now, when we talk about ultimate redemption, we're not talking about physical fighting of the people. We're not talking about physical land. We're not talking about physical nationality and nationalism. We're talking about spirituality. Jews are yearning. We say, L'shuno Abu B'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. We say every year, but they say their Passover, if you're familiar. This is not a concept of taking some money, purchasing a plane ticket, and going to Jerusalem. We can do this year. What are we praying for? We're praying coming here in Jerusalem. We can do it now. What is this prayer all about? We're praying for something that is not in our ability, it's not in our hands, it's something which is totally up to God. We are hoping for a spiritual future, which we say, there's a verse, and the world... The earth will be filled with knowledge of God as water fills the ocean. We're talking about a future where when all mankind will recognize the one God, when all people together will, we say in our prayers, and all peoples together will form one bond to serve Almighty God together in peace and harmony. This is what we're waiting for. We're not waiting about the physical concept that will happen today or tomorrow. Now again, getting back to the point, they did not only violate these rules of exile to preempt the redemption prematurely, they also transformed the concept of what we are yearning for and turned it into physical materialism, which is a disaster for religion. Be really the professional to say about Al-Quds, well, it originated from the Ayatollah, I understand. What our part, at least, is in this Al-Quds day is that we all feel that Al-Quds is the holy city. According to Judaism, it's called Yerushalayim, which is the city of peace. This was the city of peace, and this should be the city of peace, and we hope that this will be the capital of peace.
I must say, to answer the historical question about the origins of Yom Kippur, shortly after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader, called upon the Muslims to unite throughout the world, not only the Muslims, all oppressed people, to unite and take a stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people, to stand in unity with the Palestinian people on the last Friday of Ramadan. As you know, when you get to the last Friday of Ramadan, you really, if you're an observant Muslim, you really are on a spiritual surge by that time, because you've been fasting for 21, 25, 27 days, whatever. So it's a time when you really want to stand up and show your support against Zionism, racism, and imperialism, and to stand in line with the Palestinian victims of those three harsh realities. That was the origin. I believe it was 1979. We used to have the demonstrations only in Washington, but then there were a lot of thousands of Iranian students in different cities like Houston, Dallas, West Coast, and so we had the big demonstrations in all those cities, and then it kind of went downhill for a while. And then it came back, you know, the last few years,
in a moderate way in America, but other cities in Europe and the Middle East and the Far East, even places like Thailand, they have massive demonstrations much bigger than those found here in the USA.
Al-Quds Day, as the brother Mansoor mentioned, was announced right after the victory of Islamic Revolution. And it was the insight of Ayatollah Imam Khomeini that the plight of Palestinians has been completely forgotten, the condition of Palestine, and that the countries and the regimes in the Middle East have become subservient to the Zionist agenda themselves, and that it is not possible for the Holy Land to be freed from the oppressors and for the interest of all faith communities. It can never be freed unless people rise up against the oppressors in their own lands and create a global front against the Messianic, the Freemason and whatever satanic, hegemonic cult that's controlling the banking system and the media and everything else, movie industry and politics and elections even are under their control. He believed very strongly that it is the day where all the oppressed must rise against all the oppressors, all. And that it centers around Palestine because it is not a Shia issue, for example. Where we are Shia Muslims, there are hardly any Shias in Palestine. We don't even know if there are any. There are probably none, probably a few. It was not a Shia cause. Shia as a denomination, another minority, a so-called minority within Islam, it was not. It took such a broad understanding of this world and the consciousness of the issue of justice that the condition of all the oppressed people from South America to Africa to Asia and other places, that all has to be brought under one umbrella, which is the issue of Palestine. That all should rise for this, because if justice is provided there, then it will be provided everywhere else, because it's become the focal point where all efforts to create division, to create mischief in the Middle East, they all originate from right there. Which my rabbi colleague, he just mentioned that Jerusalem means land of peace. Well, I didn't know the roots of this word until now. And look at what they have made of it.
Very short that you can say to a person standing on one foot. There is a concept of exile that was accepted by all Jews throughout all generations for the past 2,000 years. Now this is enough for a person to think that something is wrong here. This notion that was accepted by all Jews was only changed about 100 years ago, again, by non-religious people. If one really wants to be Jewish, if one really wants to be honest to our religion, to Jewish religion, if one wants to be honest to the tradition of our forefathers, and we're talking about our forefathers, I mean to say, myself as a Jewish person and that other Jewish person you might encounter on the street, they might happen to be non-religious, but at least their forefathers were religious, and they have to admit that this is what Judaism is. Whether this individual chooses to do it different, that's up to the individual, but this is not Judaism, and they should never refer to this as Judaism, and they should not speak in the name of Judaism. And if you want some background literature, there are books, there are some more information we can always share, on email. You can find our contact information. N as in Nancy, K, USA. Nature Karte, USA, nkusa.org. Email is info@nkusa.org. I wish I'd have some flyers that gave everything out at the demonstration. I apologize.
I would say that the historical context, to put it in perspective for the young people that are not close to this issue, first of all, you should look at the Palestine issue as a central issue of Islam. It's not a peripheral you know, remote issue. It's a central issue. And it's been made that way because of the fact that the occupation since 1967, which is now in its 45th year, 67, 33, and 14, you know, it's a long time. It's about 50 years, and this is the last remaining occupation basically in the world today. And as the world moves toward democracy and freedom and human rights and all these nice warm and fuzzy concepts, it's the Palestinians who are the forgotten people, the dispossessed. You can say in a nutshell that the Palestinians are the American Indians of the Middle East, and the American Indians are the Palestinians of North America. In other words, an indigenous people who have been basically occupied by a settler nation with a twisted ideology, as the rabbis to my right said that the religion of Judaism has been attacked severely and twisted by the Zionist movement. We could say that political Judaism is Zionist. You look at the different milestones since the creation of the State of Israel. You can see the different conflicts, how they came to a head, like in 67, like in 73, the next war, like the 1982 invasion of Lebanon, when the Israeli army came all the way to Beirut to kick out the PLO to Tunisia. And then from 82, you see, that's when the resistance groups were created. In other words, if Israel didn't attack in 1982, then you wouldn't have a Hezbollah group. They were created to resist. You wouldn't have the Hamas group that broke away from the Muslim Brotherhood, because the Muslim Brotherhood had by that time become very irrelevant. And so Hamas became more relevant to the young people there. So you wouldn't have these groups if Israel had not attacked Lebanon in 1982. And of course, there's another list of, well, the people that are casually connected to this issue. They like to break the Israeli government down into two. The liberals called the Labor Party, and they say they're a little bit more liberal and more human being oriented, whereas the Likud Party, you know, straight, hard, right wing people. But all of these big atrocities happened to the Palestinian people when a Labor government was in power. So that's a contradiction that goes against the conventional wisdom. Bottom line, to put it in perspective, the mantra that we're hearing from the media every day, from Obama down to the taxi drivers over at Fox News, they say that Israel has the right to defend itself. This is all we're hearing. However, we're not hearing anything about the fact that there are 1.5 million people stuck in a small piece of land that have no access to the sea. They have no ability to control their borders. They cannot even import toothpicks into this area. So they cannot live as free human beings. And so by launching these ridiculously pitiful rockets, if I were them, I'd probably get my money back. They don't do any harm. They're not accurate. And then Israel has the equivalent of killing a mosquito with a sledgehammer. We call it disproportionate reaction or retaliation. And so when they have these numbers, remember back in 09, you had 1,400 Palestinians killed, most of them women and children, whereas Israel, I think, had one death. Even that's, you know, it's too bad. Even one is wrong. And this one here that's going on now, there's 850 or more, up to 1,000 Palestinian deaths, 80% almost women and children and civilians. And on the Israeli side, I believe 40 people, and like 36 of them are soldiers instead of civilians. So it's really way off balance. This is something that our Congress and our senators here in America are signed, sealed, and delivered by the Israeli lobby. You want to lose your political office in America? Criticize Israel. You want to know who has control over you and controls your destiny? Figure out who you cannot criticize. Cynthia McKinney, my friend in Stone Mountain, had the nerve to criticize Israel. She's out of a job. There was a guy in Alabama, I forgot his name, another African-American congressman. He had the nerve to criticize Israeli policies. He lost his job. It's just amazing how they operate. So we Muslims and the Palestinians in particular are on the receiving end of just about all the underhanded and despicable aspects of our American democracy, okay? Democracy only counts for America when that when your guy wins. But Hamas made the mistake of winning the election, and this result was not accepted because democracy is looked at in a very narrow way. And we rejected the Hamas victory because it wasn't our guys.
Thank you. And I heard my respected colleague mentioning that Judaism is a religious, spiritual movement, and it has not tried or presented a political, agenda to occupy any land. It does not, therefore, give any support to the Zionist, regime and all that. And this really provides there's no blame on, not at all. And it's innocence, and it is pure. It is a pure spiritual and religious response to what is happening right now. But I would try to raise this question, and it's, I think we all should, as human beings, address this question. Isn't a political ideology a need for all human beings? Isn't a government a need for all people? Don't all people want to have empowerment, to have some voice, so that whenever they have a problem, they'll be able to raise it and some change can be brought? Because government is in control of people's destiny. And if you distance yourself from politics, right, then the need is there, the thirst is there, and the hunger is there, and people will want to have a government. A good government or a bad government, a just government or an unjust government. It's like a person who is hungry. He would eat something. So if you leave the ground open, this vacuum will be filled. Because of, for example, not having a political ideology to bring justice for the Jewish people, right? There were all of those people who got together and gave a response, right? And a lot of Jewish people, not seeing any other alternative, and for ignorance or lack of religious belief or whatever you call it, they fell for it. And they accepted it. Right? And there you have a lot of Jewish people, unfortunately, living in settlements over the Palestinian blood and strongly believing that this is a God-given right for them. Isn't it about time that we ask ourselves that human beings need to be powerful, but in the right way? You cannot just say, well, we are away from all these things and that we are waiting till God will decide for us. Well, God will decide, then we decide. God has given principles, and before any principles in any scripture, God has given us this. And we know justice is good, we know oppression is bad, we know they all have a place here. All. Jews have a place here, Muslims have a place, in this world, I mean. Therefore, it is important. And the same thing about a Muslim who, whatever he calls himself, secular or whatever, if he doesn't have a political ideology, he will be craving for it. And we'll buy whatever comes cheap. Even at the over the blood of others. These so-called, guys, Muslim terrorists, so-called, in Iraq, they are calling themselves Khalifas now. Why? They were disenfranchised, humiliated. They had no place in their society. Some of them were driven out of their homes, and they said, oh, look at that. Now we have guns. Now we'll go and have fun. And we'll have paradise too. Because everybody wants it. If you don't give it, others will give it.
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have gave us Islam, and He have told us, He have named this Islam for us, the Deen of Islam. And the Deen, we come to understand, is a complete way of life. So it is spiritual and it's political. You need both. But you also need to remain balanced. And we see that the world, unfortunately, in many parts of it, have lost its equilibrium. It has lost its center. And alhamdulillah, but we also see that there are certain places that we can look at. For example, in Iran, they may not be perfect, but alhamdulillah, they had the strength and the fortitude to try to make a strong effort to establish an Islamic state. When we look around the world, we see that many people that call themselves Muslims today are doing everything contrary to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very clear when he told us, do not harm women, old people, and children. He told us, do not burn down synagogues. Do not burn down churches. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, any place that the name of God is celebrated in, is mentioned, do not touch it. But we see, soon as these people get a hold of any weapons, the first thing they do is begin to kill and blow and burn things down. And so, Islam is a complete way of life, but we must keep a balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not like extremes. He likes us to be balanced. He have created this creation, it's set up on haq, and haq is balanced. So if the individual is unbalanced, you will see a lot of chaos happening. And so when we find that those of us that try our best to follow Islam and down to the letter, as close as we can, we see that those individuals are more balanced. But we never see this related or narrated in the news. They only go and look towards those that are cutting and killing and removing people's heads and all of kind of eating the liver and the hearts of individuals. These people are not even human beings. You can't even call them beasts. They're definitely not human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to raise above such barbaric things. So Islam is balanced, and we must keep that in mind, inshallah.
As I said before, well, I certainly agree with the issue, with the problem. No. But as I have to say that still, according to Judaism, this is wrong. When one thinks about this lack, this vacuum that will enter the minds of many people, yes, right. But as Jewish people, we say that we have to, and we did so for a very long time, for thousands of years, we did fill this vacuum with religion. Again, according to Judaism, this is wrong, and Jewish people did not do this. This only started with this non-religious movement. In addition, all this bloodshed and all of this is totally wrong. And let me just for a moment get back to the previous question, how to react to Zionist people. You know, I was about to respond to that counter-demonstration. I just didn't have the microphone in my hand. If I would have, I would have said this. Are you people happy and dancing on the street when blood of people are being spilled? Now, how can these people celebrate this? This is Jewish blood, Palestinian blood. Person has to wake up and understand what's going on. This is not just what the media is saying, Israel's right to exist. We are talking about a conflict which didn't start with Hamas. It started way before. And all of this is wrong, and we just have to overcome this propaganda. We have to know what the facts are, and we have to learn what our religion is. And we can open our eyes to a totally different world.
Thank you very much.